Hey, good morning, church. Good morning, Asbury.
Good morning.
Hey, please stand with us. Let's get this room warmed up. I'm so glad you're here. So fortunate to have these singers and these instrumentalists up here this morning. We're going to worship God here together. We're so lucky to live in a country where we're free to worship however we want to, wherever we want to, and with whomever we want to. And I'm so glad to be worshiping with you this morning. So we want you to sing with us.
So grateful to have you here this morning at Asbury United Methodist Church. My name is Chase Green, and I'm one of the pastors here. It's so exciting to welcome you in this wonderful place where we can gather and worship to honor our God, to honor the love that He has given us, and to celebrate on this World Communion Sunday where Christians all across this world participate in Holy Communion together. We especially want to thank our visitors for being here. We're so thankful you came out to be with us this morning, and we hope that you feel at home here and are able to freely worship God as you like. We do have the attendance pads that we pass to you, and we encourage you to fill those out and put your name down so we can have a record of your attendance this morning. And as we move on to the announcements this morning, we want to lift you up that Children's Sabbath will be happening Sunday, October 9th. That's next Sunday. And all three services will be celebrating children and the life of the church. And you'll see children participating in various elements of our worship services, which is always an enriching and exciting experience for them. And we hope that you'll be here for that. We also want to let you know that October 16th at 6 p.m., there'll be a suicide awareness and prevention seminar given to our youth where all people are invited. It's in honor and in tribute to that Lou Teeter's grandson who tragically committed suicide last year. And so we want to invite all of those to come and participate in that event. I also want to let you know that Hog on the Hill tickets are on sale. And Mr. Scott in the back would be delighted to take your money this morning. It is a great fundraiser in the life of our church that goes to support our shared ministries that impact ministries all across the state and our world. And it's just a big, fun event. If you went to Hog on the Hill last year, raise your hand. And if those of you that are raising your hand had a great time, said yes. Excellent. Why would you want to miss this event? Show up on October 23rd from 4 to 7. Did I get that right, Clark? I got it. All right. Hope you'll show up then. We also want to let you know that the pumpkins are coming. It's the annual fundraiser for the youth. We want you to show up here this Friday at 4 p.m. when the big truck will come with incredible amounts of pumpkins of all shapes and sizes. And we need your help to unload those pumpkins so that we can place them on the pallets and have everything ready for when they go on sale the next day. So we hope you'll be here for that. With that, I invite you now to stand, greet one another in the name of Christ.
Lost and say I am found again. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never.
Your holy name.
seated. Morning, Laura. Why don't all of our kiddos come?
Good morning. How are we? Good. Do you like the cooler weather? That's exactly what they did at 8:30. Some were half, some were, we like summer. Well, you know, with it getting cooler, what's here? Fall. That's right. And so I brought a couple of sticks with me this morning. The first one, look at this one. Tell me about it. What's on it?
A leaf.
What's wrong with the leaf?
It's dead.
It's dead. That's right. And there was more leaves on it, but I had children that played with my branch, and so all of the leaves are now off of it. Go figure. So, anyway, so yeah, I mean, it's not green. It's kind of wilted. It doesn't look very good, does it? Brown. That's right. So, and then I have this one. What about this one?
It's a little bit smaller.
It's smaller, but what's wrong with it? Does it have anything on it?
No.
No, does it? Does it have any leaves on it? No. It's kind of dead too, isn't it? And so, you know, I was kind of thinking, the big one does have a leaf. That's right. It does. And I was thinking, if I took these branches and I went outside and I dug a hole and I stuck them in the ground, would they grow? No. Why? Why?
Because they're already dead.
They're already dead. What else?
Because they have to have, like, seeds and you just put them in the ground.
Very good. You have to have seeds. And these are really not seeds, are they?
No.
Well, you know, there is a scripture verse. Lily, will you hold my branches for me? Don't poke anybody. That says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And so I thought about that scripture verse because, you know, if you stick like a seed in there and it grows into a beautiful tree and it grows into fruit, it's what? It's pretty, it's healthy, it's growing, and it produces lots of fun fruit, like pears and apples and those oranges, those kind of things, right? And so that's kind of like our relationship with Jesus. You know, if we are like that new tree, we are connected with Jesus, aren't we? If we're not, we're going to be what?
Apart.
We're going to be apart, but we're also going to be like a withering, dead stick. And you know what happens? What happens when it rains and it's out in the dirt? It's going to get muddy. That's right. So my question for you today is, are you going to be that pretty tree that's growing with lots of fruit and lots of green leaves? Are you going to have a faith that is like a stick or a stick in the mud that's not growing and it's not producing? So what kind of faith are you going to have? A growing? Are you going to have a wilting one? A growing one. That's right. At 8:30, I was told that somebody was not going to have one, that it was not going to grow. So, Lily, do you want to read our closing? No? Who would like to, Lexi, you want to read our closing prayer?
Dear Jesus, help us remember that apart from you, we can do nothing. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Thank you, Miss Laura. I invite you to look in your bulletin. Any prayer concerns we have will be printed there for you to be in prayer for this week. We also want to invite you to take this time as we do go to God in prayer as a community to bow your hearts and your heads as we go to God and try to connect deeply with God. Gracious One, so often when we go through the Christian life, sometimes we just forget about how incredible of a church body there is. Sometimes we don't fathom just how many Christians there are in the world who follow you. And especially here on this day of World Communion Sunday, you invite us to think deeply about what it means to be connected with all the Christians in the world. You call to us to imagine what would it be like if the church truly embraced its mission and gave everything it had to glorifying God. Lord, there are so many around this world who profess the Christian faith, who are threatened with death, who are caught up in violence and horrible acts of terror, who are scared, who go hungry, who worry about their children. Lord, we pray for them. We pray that your Holy Spirit will be poured out upon all those who feel alone, who feel fear, that you would inspire them with a spirit of love, a spirit of hope and peace that would motivate them to know that they aren't alone, but that you are right there by their side, and they are connected with a larger church that deeply cares for them. Help us to care for one another in our local church communities, that we would reach out a hand to those who are in deep need, that we would offer love to those that feel they are experiencing hate, that we would offer friendship to those that are isolated and left alone. Your Spirit calls us to be one body, by one baptism, one faith in God that reigns over us. And now we pray the prayer our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us for our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As the ushers make their way forward to receive this morning's offering, I just want to let you know that if there are those that are particularly interested in helping out our food pantry by volunteering on a regular basis, please talk to me as we seek to give support to this ministry we're beginning at the end of this month. Let us now go to God in prayer. Lord, we thank you for what we have been given. And we thank you by our actions, by the time we spend, by the energy we give, by the love we share, by the prayers we offer, and by all that we have earned giving to you to be used to glorify and spread the kingdom of God on this world. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Thank you.
You're lifting my load. You're lifting my load. You're lifting my load. You're lifting my load. Oh, you're lifting my load. No longer am I held by the yoke of this world. Come upon the yoke of Jesus. His yoke is easy, his burden. Your love carries me through all the valleys and the darkest places. Your love carries, your love carries me through all the valleys and the darkest places.
Beautiful, Mike. Thank you so much. It's a fabulous tribute and honor to hear those words and this great music as we glorify God this morning. We now move to hearing our scripture passage, which comes to us from the Gospel according to John, chapter 6, verses 47 through 56. Hear these words as they are read aloud, and may they fall and rest upon our hearts and our minds in a fresh and new way. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Jews then disputed amongst themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us bow for a brief moment of prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, and speak to us. Your children are listening. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we ask. Amen. I have never gone without want. In my whole life, I have never been concerned with having enough food, having adequate shelter, having fresh, clean water. And there was one particular Christmas where I was convicted to do something for someone else. You know how you can support someone thousands of miles away. Well, I had been kind of shared with me about this mission of these village women making baskets. And you could buy them, and the proceeds would go to that village in particular, and you give it as a gift. So for me, it was a fabulous idea to give my mother a basket made from an African village woman. I got to thinking, though, about the great efforts it must take for those women to weave and make those baskets using their craft to support their life. And here I was deciding randomly, that'll be a great gift. Great gift to give my mother. Their livelihoods existed upon the money they got from making those baskets. That's what gave them food, water. It's what gave them support in their life. That whole community, wherever that village was, they had hoped that what they could make and craft to share with others would bring them help to their living. Basket weaving has to be aligned just right, has to be woven together in such a way where it creates a foundation where something can be placed inside of it. Something can be shared by giving it to others. A few years ago, I had just finished climbing the Great Wall of China. I was with a group of seminarians, and it was exhausting. The steps are uneven, they're very steep, and I felt like I was practically crawling up the steps at one point. And after that experience, we went back into the city of Beijing, and we were sitting in this restaurant. And it dawned on me that here it was, this great table, crafted in such a way to share with everyone around the table as a community. It's a lazy Susan table. The center moves around in a circle. So the idea is that you share your meal together. That was such an important thing for us as we had walked all those steps. Received that great experience together, and then we come at this table, this round table, and share a meal meant for a community. Crafted. Just that basket for someone to have livelihood, someone to receive help and rightful living by creating this table meant for sharing. It often seems like our world today is so divided, especially since it's election season, right? We feel divided by race. We feel divided by gender. We feel divided by viewpoints on life. We feel divided by our religion. We feel divided by just sports teams. I mean, everything. There was something to be divided on. And yet, for some reason, we don't integrate into our minds the profound way that we can all come together as a strong, diverse group and actually solve the world's problems. Now, there are groups that try to solve the world's problems. That's great. And most of them are doing a wonderful job. But what if we were all intentional about putting our diverse minds and perspectives together as a unit to change the world? Oh, wait, that's called the church, isn't it? That is our mission. We are united together through our baptism. By our baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church to do God's work and will in the world, to be the hands and feet of Jesus to so many who suffer all around us. to put aside division. You've all probably in your lifetime participated in a three-legged race, correct? It's always a very humorous occasion. There was one time when I was in high school where this 6'8" guy named Chris, who played basketball, was teamed up with this 5'2" girl named Nicole. And you know how it goes. Their ankles are tied against each other, and they're competing with different teams, and they're to try to make it to the finish line. Well, pretty easy. All Chris had to do was just pick up Nicole and run over there. There were two other teams that just didn't understand the technique of the three-legged race. And so they would trip and fumble and they would fall on the ground. Technically, even though Chris and Nicole won, they did it wrong. There was another team, although they didn't win, who understood that they had to move together. As their ankles touched the ground, they had to walk with purpose in unison with one another. That is how we as Christians are to be in relationship with one another. Our ankles are all tied together, and we are doing this race together. And the quicker we realize that, the more profound of an impact it will have on our faith. In seminary, when they teach you about preaching, they talk about the language you use, how you have to be careful with using words like I and you. If you use too many I's in a sermon, the sermon becomes about you. If you use too many you's, then it feels to the particular member in the congregation that you're preaching down to them. And so it's very important to incorporate we. We, the body, work together. Our personal walk with Christ is so important. It's where we understand how God relates to us individually. But I don't believe you can have a profound faith life unless you incorporate the we, the communal aspect of what it means to be a part of the church. If you're a lone wolf, you're out there alone. You have no support. But when we are connected, and when we realize that we is more powerful than I, we can do more profound things in the name of Jesus Christ. We are here today because we follow. We follow Jesus, and we want to follow more faithfully. And by following together, we bond as a unit. We bond together as Christians who try to get through this life, growing in faith, growing in love, trying to do what Jesus has asked us to do. And one of the things Jesus tells us to do in this passage is to eat of his flesh and drink of his blood. These verses make us uncomfortable. Can we admit that? That these verses about eating the flesh of Jesus and drinking the blood makes us uncomfortable? Early Christians, the early church, were gossiped about, rumored about that they were people of cannibalism because they kept talking about eating the body and the blood of Jesus. So many people thought them strange, labeled them awful people. When Jesus shares these words to us, especially in the book of John, which is such a rich and deep text filled with metaphor, we have to understand what it is Jesus is trying to communicate to us by sharing that we must eat of his flesh. By asking the question, what does it mean to eat? When we take in food, when we take in drink, we do it to give ourselves strength, to nourish ourselves, because we can't live without eating and drinking. So how much more profound is it that we eat and drink Jesus, to take him in to ourselves, to gain his strength, his love, his grace, the way he lives and acts? It is to make us Christ-like. It is to give us new life. So as we follow Jesus Christ, as we bond together as a community of faith, we are called and commanded to eat together. When we're around a table, it's an intimate setting. Conversations flow, deeper connections are hopefully met, and a sharing happens with the food. Just like sharings happen with food all across this world. When we eat of his flesh and drink of his blood, we are to be transformed from the inside out. That means that the church is not to be just casually going through the world, but it is on an incredible mission to change the world around us. If we are truly transformed, what a difference that makes. The real question this morning is, do you want to be transformed? Because if you want to be transformed, it's more likely that you will be transformed. But if you're on the fence, if you're struggling, if you're doubtful, it's more difficult. Common elements, common gifts, bread and grape juice are transformed into the grace of Jesus Christ. That is to transform you from ordinary man or woman to extraordinary children of God filled with grace to share in love, to reach the world for Christ, to offer so many people who suffer comfort and relief. Let us be transformed. Let us hope for that. Let us believe in that. For we are called to eat and drink. We are called to be Christ-like. And we are called to be different and set apart and made anew. Brothers and sisters, let us in this time pray deeply about how God may transform our hearts, minds, to be instruments of God's peace and love in the world. Amen. We are united together in this incredible occasion where Christians around the world are celebrating the bread and the juice, the body and the blood. So as we celebrate together, and as you come forward with hands open later, know that Christians all across this world are doing the exact same thing. And how powerful it is that the church is indeed alive. Let us now share in our confession with one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and a joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. And so with all of your people on earth, from north to south and east to west, with the tongues of men, women, and children from every nation, and all the company of heaven, we praise you and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ, who commanded us to go into every corner of the world proclaiming your gospel to the least, the last, and the lost. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, our Lord took bread. He gave thanks to God, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, for this is my body which is given for you. Do this as often as you eat of it in remembrance of me." And after the supper had been finished, our Lord took a cup, again giving thanks to God. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on all of us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body of Christ and the blood of Christ. That the body and blood of Christ would redeem us, sanctify us, and fill us with all the peace and love you offer each day. The power of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And we now share together the loving grace of God poured out upon us here and now. Amen. Body of Christ given for us. Cup of salvation poured out for all of us. Here in this church, we practice open communion, which means if you are here in this place, you are more than welcome to receive the gift of this sacrament. For this is the Lord's table, and the Lord is wanting to receive each and every one of you to receive the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. We have a community offering plate here in the center that goes to the needs of those that come to our church, and we ask that you would donate if you wish to that. We have a gluten-free option available for those that need that. We also want to let you know those that are assisting would please come forward at this time.
I will feast at the table of the Lord. I will feast at the table of the Lord. And I won't hunger anymore at his table. I will feast at the table.
Amen. Would you pray with me? Merciful God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you have given yourself to us. Grant that we may go into the world by the strength of your Spirit to share in love, to be Christ-like to all those we meet, that we may transform this world by your grace and love. Amen. If there are those who would like to come forward for a time of prayer, or would like to join the life of our church, reaffirm your faith, we welcome you forward at this time. Let us all be standing as we sing our closing song together.
Thank you.
Amen. Absolutely, amen. I want to bring to your attention that just right after this service, from 12 to 3, the Camp Aldersgate Fish Fry will be happening. So wander on down to Camp Aldersgate. That's our big fundraiser of the year, and it helps support children in need that come to their facilities and have incredible experiences. And so I invite you to that. Please receive this blessing. May you go forth knowing that you are connected to the gracious and loving God, and that you are connected with the Christians around this world. Let us be in prayer for all of them. Let us be hopeful that we will engage in mission throughout this world by the power of the Holy Spirit, and that we, by the grace of God, can make a difference. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.